Welcome.
Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about this, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallica.
It's Fallica. He made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
Who's the most jiffable actor of our time? Is it Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, it's Denzel.
Oh, wow.
You have to have more than one famous gif. So,
what if you have the most famous one?
Well, gif or meme too, because Leo's popularity right now is often in the still image, and that is constantly photoshopped.
The one from Django, right?
Yeah, he's got two from Django, because there's also the zoom in where he just gives like one of like those slight head nods. He also has from Wolf of Wall Street, I believe, the biting of the knuckle gif. And he also has the money gif, also from Wolf of Wall Street. So he's certainly in the Mount Rushmore. You mentioned Denzel Washington. What are the nominees from Denzel Washington?
I feel like he has two that are higher ranked than anyone you just said. He's got the one where people think someone's dead, where he like is like relieved, yeah. Where he's like relieved, like whew.
Yeah, is that from Training Day?
Yeah,
I think so. And then he's got
That's from Fallen.
Oh,
that's from Fallen. All right. He's also got the one from Flight, right, where he chugs the vodka.
Oh, see, I didn't even think about it. He's also got My Man.
Yeah, from My American Man. Gangster.
You think those are more prevalent than DiCaprio and Django pointing excitedly at something? Because I see
that's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Dan, and that one's also become a meme. That one's actually arguably the most famous one. I think this is one and two. Do we have another actor that is in the can even touch Denzel and Leo in this discussion?
In terms of
we're trying to find the most jiffable actor. Right now, who is seen in the most memes and the most gifs? Which actor has had the most roles that have become part of pop culture? There's a great number of people that probably haven't seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that are just using that meme of him smoking and pointing to the TV. So people now, that's what pop culture is. Alfonso Ribeiro, Carlton's going to live forever. And people probably go up to him and say, oh, the Dan's gif or something like that. They probably don't even know him as Carlton in some cases because these things will live forever.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood didn't do what Tarantino wanted it to do, right, in terms of climb into the pantheon of his best movies.
Probably not. It's always going to be Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction for him. I loved it. And I didn't think it would be good upon multiple viewings. And it is because I was having this discussion with David Samson on The Local Hour, which is out now. Perfectly understated roles that really hinge on your performance and you're not even knowing it while it happens. Because if Leo overplays his hand, that film becomes campy. We're thinking about Jason Sudeikis and Ted Lasso for this because that character can walk a very fine line. It's tough to not come off as campy playing it the way he has to nail the performance for that show to work, and he does.
DiCaprio is a super discerning choice maker, huh? Like, there's just no way that guy makes any decisions flippantly or just because he's got some sort of friendship in the industry. It seems like his choices have to be meticulous because he doesn't choose very much bad stuff, and everyone chooses bad stuff.
He's very careful. I know there's one famous example of him passing on a role thinking that maybe he didn't have faith in the source material or the filmmaker, but he actually passed on Patrick Bateman. This was after Titanic. And Patrick Bateman's a central character in American Psycho, which Christian Bale nails. And I guess
it made Bale, right?
Yeah, cinematic history is better, even though Bale was a child star, Newsies and I think Empire of the Sun too. So Bale was having a nice career for himself. He would have been fine, but it made Bale a leading man. It made Christopher Nolan convinced that Bale could be Batman, which then took him to another level. But DiCaprio actually passed on Patrick Bateman, which turned out, I still think, and this guy's got an amazing career, I think Patrick Bateman is Christian Bale's best performance.
So you can't find, you guys don't have anybody that would end up in the rankings that Mike is talking
Christian
about?
Christian Bale could, you could make an argument for Christian Bale getting in that jiffable Mount Rushmore. Are you annoyed by how I pronounce Jif? Because it could be Jif or GIF, and if you're a GIF person, you could be really offended by what I'm doing
right
now. This
is one of the many things we're fighting about in America today?
Always. I always catch shit for it, and I think we just need to relax, generally.
GIF or Jif?
Yeah. Roy, I you're often on social media. You nailed the dismount on one of the greatest Yo Mama jokes of all time yesterday on Twitter. Slow burn for me, but hearty chuckle. Who are you putting in this Mount Rushmore? Jiffable actors.
I'm still thinking about it. I actually would like to check the roll to make sure I can get this right. So
we'll get back to you. Yeah. You're like Pennsylvania. We'll get back to you and chart your progress throughout this big suey. Tony, do you have any more nominees? Most jiffable actors?
I got Steve Carell. The bevy of ones that you can do from The Office are incredible. I also have Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
But I think to enter this discussion is you have to have multiple roles feature prominently in memes and gifs. Ron Swanson is just one character. And I know he has epic reaction shots, but there's some stuff from Anchorman that has become popular with Steve Carell. I know most of it is Office reaction, but still, you have to go Steve Carell over Ron Swanson.
So any women? Any women make an appearance?
I don't think so, which really tells you a lot about us as a society, Dan.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who would you go to as the number one woman reaction meme or GIF?
Well, I was thinking, right, when I was thinking at the top of the food chain where it regards movie making, Meryl Streep doesn't have much of anything like that. And I don't know. Yeah, I was racking my brain trying to think of anybody.
Is it Rachel McAdams? Because I know she's got a meme. Is it Rachel McAdams, the most memeable woman?
You know, I just thought of one that's a male. It's not even an actor, but just a person that's very, I mean, not to bring it here, but Trump is very jiffable.
Yeah, so I was looking specifically for actors because he's got some pretty epic reactions that make, was it a Real Housewives show that was pointing at the cat? Because she might be the one.
But that's only one, though.
That's all we got.
I love watching Trump dance. Like he's flossing his ears, or as Colbert said on his Showtime special, like he's masturbating a couple of giraffes. It's a funny way to visualize the dancing with his hands.
Tony's doing it.
Now I see
now
giraffes.
I see
now I see you see giraffes, right? Tony was doing the dance, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait a minute, what does he mean by doing that to giraffes? And then Chris is like, oh, what Tony's doing, where he is clearly stimulating giraffes.
That makes him unelectable, just like Howard Dean.
Tony, stop, please.
Tony is unelectable right now just for reacting to it. It's one of those things that I low-key actually kind of get a kick out of, is the Trump dancing. It's funny. It's funny to me.
To YMCA.
I saw like a two-minute montage that Fox News put on their network that went viral.
He put it up.
He put it out?
He put it out.
Yeah, it's funny.
He put it out.
He
put a montage out of him dancing with his hands. He absolutely dances. Oh, he dances with his fists. And only his fists.
The occasional point.
The occasional point. Yes.
It might be the modern day Carlton, because I may trot that one out on the dance floor because everyone
great,
knows
it's
what
a
I'm
great
doing.
Dance. We should all.
Now
we
I
should,
can't stop picturing
do
like
it as
pleasing
a show.
Giraffes.
Why don't we start the national show with all of us doing it? Let's all just do it silently and not even mention it. We'll just keep doing it for the first segment and not mention.
But your body's moving a bit too much. I think it's just the fist.
He's got the hips. He's got the posture that he bends over his knees a little bit.
Yes, ass back.
He puts a little back arch into it, and then the clap point, and then it goes higher.
Roy, we've got Aubrey Huff out there. Aubrey Huff is fighting on behalf of Trump, and I'm just curious, whether you see the possible poetic justice in Atlanta and Detroit. Like in Atlanta and Detroit, specifically those two cities, I would pay a substantive amount of money, Stugatz, to have seen the aide who had to bring to Trump the information that the places that were tight in Georgia and Michigan that were votes not counted yet were black Detroit and black Atlanta. Like, I would have paid a good amount of money just to see the aide who had to bring that information to him, because Atlanta and Detroit, those are two like famously black cities. When you think of those two and you think of New Orleans in terms of black cities, and the idea that at the end they would decide or possibly decide close votes, I can't imagine what that had to feel like in the White House.
Ryan Gosling creeps into Mount Rushmore because there's a very famous Hey Girl meme that he is a part of, and also there's the reaction GIF that he has, I think, when Steve Carell, who you could actually add this to Steve Carell's tally, Tony, good shout. And, is it Crazy Stupid Love, where he's just reacting poorly to, man, Ryan Gosling is a piece in that film.
He is. He really
My
is.
God.
In every film.
Ugh.
Yeah.
What?
All right, I think I figured it out. Robert Downey Jr.
This is a good
he's
one.
Around.
Oh.
Yeah, let me see. It's better than Ryan Gosling. It's better than Ryan Gosling. But I think we should just give a moment and all acknowledge what a dish Ryan Gosling is in that movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of dishes, and I don't know where that expression came from in terms of describing someone as a dish, those Hemsworth brothers.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Smoldering. Yeah. Just smoldering.
I mean, love
what
them.
What a DNA strand that
Good
is.
God.
Yeah.
Those parents are Olympians of beauty.
Thor's is just not fair. Hey, Chris Hemsworth in particular, like, he's got it in the palm of his hands, the world, I mean. It's just so put together. He's tall and he's charming. That you shouldn't be allowed to be charming when you're that handsome. It's unfair.
Well, but that's the whole success of Deadpool. They chose him and they put him in a mask, right?
Well,
but
Ryan Reynolds.
No, I'm saying that's the whole Ryan Reynolds is those two things, impossibly handsome and also, hey, I'll sell you liquor on the side of a truck because look at me, I'm charming.
It's like the Bizarro Zaslow theory, which is you can't be ugly and mean. You can't be handsome and super charming.
Technically, he wasn't handsome in Deadpool. He was burned.
He was wearing a mask.
Yeah, he could still get it with that. Even after the mask and all burns, he can still get it.
That's the move now for actors, right? Attach your name to a tequila and then go sell for $2 billion a couple of years later.
He's got the gin.
So annoying.
Yeah, but I'll buy anything he tells me. That guy's got it going on. How is he selling like crazy? How do these people? It's Russell Wilson spends over $1 million on body maintenance and like two chefs. I'm like, you're wasting your money, pal. Pay whatever Chris Hemsworth is doing and Ryan Reynolds, because that shit is phenomenal what they got cooking.
The issue with the Hemsworth brothers is that there's a lesser known third brother that is not charming, not handsome whatsoever.
Cooperman.
So imagine you walk into Christmas, your holidays or whatever. You see one brother, you see the other brother, and you're like, "Who's that guy?" Oh, that's our third brother, John.
His name's got to be Carl, right? Carl Hemsworth.
He's in Westworld, is he not? I think he's in Westworld. And when Westworld had its time in the sun for season one, you can imagine him like talking at the Thanksgiving dinner. It's Thor is amazing, and then everyone's like, "Yeah, I'm marrying Miley Cyrus or whatever," and then he's like, "Well, I'm a bit player in Westworld. Thank you very much. Pass the gravy."
It sounded a moment there like you were doing Sean Connery. It's Cliff. His name must be Cliff, even though it might not be Cliff. I'm wondering, though, as Stugatz says that it's the move to sell tequila, outside of Ryan Reynolds and The Rock, who are the actors you're thinking
Clooney.
Of that are out there?
Clooney.
Empire.
Clooney was the first one to do it.
Yeah. Are there a lot more?
No, but I feel like it's a trend, right?
Hemsworth. Hey, man, you're knocking. Luke Hemsworth is pretty handsome. And he's the older brother, but I feel like they have to give him extra attention, maybe put it on the fridge, the parents, whenever there's a family get-together. It's like Westworld Season 3 starting now on HBO Go.
Mike, in any other family, he would be the most handsome man in that family.
Yeah.
Okay, but not in this family. In this family, he's a little bit short, he's not nearly as good-looking, and they all make fun of him.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
It's sort of like... You had the beer goggles and you were looking at Chris Hemsworth, and then you wake up next to this and you're like, well, not exactly, but it's okay.
I believe Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul teamed up to get their own tequila brand out there.
So how many? So we got tequilas and gins. Because the Rock is tequila, right? The Rock is also tequila.
Yep.
It's for a while there. Diddy and some others were doing vodka. Vodka, but vodka is a scam. We've covered that. Vodka. All vodkas are the same. Roughly, there's only a height limit that you can reach in terms of how good vodka can be. That's the game to get into because that's all branding.
Yeah.
That's Grey Goose is vodka that's popular just because the bottle is kind of smoky and cool. Yeah, like there's not a lot of difference.
Little, yeah, there's very little that you can do in the brewing process to, you know, make it a better vodka in terms of distilling. Guys, I just found out Craig Hemsworth is patient zero when it comes to this amazing DNA line, the dad. I am looking at pictures right now.
His name is actually Craig, like somebody suggested. It's Craig.
Well, no, this is not the older brother. This is the dad and Zaddy, because I am looking at him emerge from the shore carrying a surfboard. Yeah, you know exactly. Yeah. They get their looks, and I can tell from this photo because he's a cool dad that likes to surf. They get his charm. It's incredible.
I would like, if a genie popped out of a bottle, my two wishes before the third one would be something to help society and would be good and meaningful and not quite this superficial. But one time, I would like to emerge from the shore and not look the way that I do emerging from the shore.
Me too.
One time, just whatever. The coolest people who emerge from
Daniel
the shore.
Craig, James Bond, baby blue Speedo.
Where you like flick your head back and the water fly like.
Just anything other than me emerging from the shore, which has some waddle to it, jiggle to it.
Chris, you just emerge from the shore. You don't have to do anything. You are just.
I'm just emerging.
Statuesque. You are gorgeous. You don't have to do anything. And you look better when you're wet. I mean, that's it.
I did that as a grit of death punishment.
Yeah, you look good.
Oh, yeah, you look great.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't really a punishment for you.
Yeah, that was the first time I saw Roy's legs.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Dan, because this is what is actually getting me to consider these pool hats that I keep getting on my IG in terms of ads. I'm a sucker for a good IG ad. And oftentimes I get burned because it doesn't fit my body the way that it fits these models in these IGs. But the pool hat, because the very first thing I do when I emerge from the pool is try to get my strands of hair in place because I don't want anyone to see exactly how bad my hairline is.
Well,
I feel like
the
pool hat can help my confidence overall.
You have had when you were in your 20s on this show, you had a resplendent, flowing, and enviable head of hair.
Yes.
You were the guy who could flip his hair out of the pool. You could throw your head back and the hair would all land in the right place.
Now it's Tony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tony's got an incredible hairline.
Oh, Tony walking out of the ocean.
Oh, look at the volume.
Voluminous,
God. Man. It's just roll out of bed and your hair looks great.
Yeah,
kid.
What's your strategy? Is there some sort of oil in there? Like, what do you got there?
Tea tree. Yeah, tea tree oil. Tea tree Moroccan oils as well.
No, are you being sarcastic? Because I'm legitimately going to buy these.
Mike is writing them down. Yes, tea tree. I've heard that. Yes, tea tree oil? I don't know whether, I think you have to start with the resplendent head of hair and then tea tree oil helps it, but it's not going to give you a resplendent head of hair.
I am fully embracing the fact that 2 years from now I'm going to Jason Statham the shit and just be like short tea tree.
Tony, why do you ever wear a hat, man? Good God, you look
because then it's just too much, man. Like I have like so much hair.
Why do you ever wear clothes?
Oh, yeah,
well,
exactly.
You spell tea tree oil?
Tony emerges from the shore like Jason Momoa, but of course this is grading on the curve. This is grading on the curve of me and Chris emerging from the shore and just sort of looking down the beach a little bit and being like, well, that doesn't look like Tony emerging from the shore.
I so love that is a dream of yours. You emerging.
Like, I'm right there with them.
Emerging from the shore, being able to throw your hair back.
If I could combine these two things, okay? If I could combine the emerging from the shore with the walking away in slow motion from what is about to be an explosion, that is the cinematic way that I would like to be represented upon my third wish.
I would settle for just the courage to take my shirt off in front of my in-laws.
Rusty Staub, shirtless Rusty Staub. Chris and I were sharing photos last night of Rusty Staub, and Chris was convincing me with younger Rusty Staub photos. He's like, look, he's pretty handsome for a young man. And then I sent him back old barbecue Rusty Staub late in his life, and he looked a little more like Charlie Weiss if Charlie Weiss was redheaded and a little bit taller.
That's so great. Tim Kurchin got back to me, by the way, and the greatest pinch hitter of all time. It's Gates Brown. I don't know who that is, but I thought it'd be Rusty Staub. He said Rusty in his top five. Gates Brown, greatest pinch hitter of all time. I'll look him up. I'm assuming he's an older player.
The rare two last names.
I feel like we had a big blind spot yesterday when nobody said Julio Franco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a professional hitter, Julio Franco.
That's a hell of a recommendation. By the way, tea tree oil, you made it sound like it's one word. It's actually like tea.
Tea and tree.
Like the awful drink that they make fun of on Ted Lasso and tree. So not one word. Common mistake.
Again, Mike, it's not going to misnomer. Really help you. It's just going to oil up your
Yeah, hair. Which is going to make it worse. I saw this. I'm like, no, I can't. Because if I put something in my hair, then it gives me the wet look and I don't have the volume to pull that off. So no dice on this. Is there like a powder that I can put on my hair that makes it extra thick and make it look like Dalco? I have a little more. Yeah. Yeah. But you had hair in a can, didn't you? Maybe I'm going to try that shit out.
Well, for those of you...
You had hair in a can?
For those of you who don't know, including evidently Stu Gatz, even though we've told this story 10 times, when my hair would get patchy on television, one day...
You got those overhead lights. It's a nightmare.
On the set of PTI... the makeup person came out and it felt like I didn't know exactly what that person was doing, right? Because I just sit in the chair and I'm just waiting to get started and go on television. And now I want you to imagine like salt and pepper shaker sort of being shaken on your head with gray stuff that is meant to sort of clean up some of the patchiness that you might have, sort of spackle some potholes. And so it was a can, I don't know, like you would movie theater popcorn salt, like the way that you would just throw it on somebody's head. That is the way that that was done. And I do not do that anymore. I do not have to do anymore. Wow. That it's been something of a weird late in life improvement where it hasn't, I shouldn't say improvement, it just hasn't gotten a good deal worse.
Aw, dog, show me your ways. Because the
what happened to you, Mike?
What happened to me? Anxiety, probably. Yep. Riddled with anxiety, losing hair, also growing
kids. Child. That's kids. It. That's what happened.
It
child
really wasn't
and marriage.
A kid. Yeah. It was probably everything leading up to it, to be honest. But the hair in the can thing always interested me because you remember that toy that when you were at the pharmacy, you would just go look at the shitty toys that they had, and there was like this face. That you would get like this pen that had a magnet on the bottom, and then you would just color in like hair. And a mustache. That's what that shit looked like, the hair in the can. And honestly, I think that's what I'm looking for.
What is that game that you're talking about? Because I sort of remember it. What was the name of the game where it's not Etch-A-Sketch, but it's got some Etch-A-Sketch properties. Do you know the game that he's talking about there?
No, I know Etch-A-Sketch, obviously.
I know what he's talking about, where you would take a magnet and just bring what I can only call some garbage debris to make a mustache or hair out of a figure who didn't have it anymore. And I wish I knew the name of this game.
I'm going to find this guy. I'm like a dog with a bone on this one.
How do you find
I'm going to find it.
I'm wrong.
How do you find
magnetic? Is that what it is? Magnetic mustache? I think that's what it was called.
Well, it had a guy's face. What was that guy's name?
Really? Oh. What was his name?
I know. Everyone knows what I'm talking about, right?
Gates Brown.
I think it was Wooly Willy.
Wooly Willy?
Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah.
Wooly I don't Willy. Feel like the shipping container does know what we're talking about. That is the game.
Yeah.
Stu Gatz has found it. It is indeed the original Wooly Willy. It is someone who, let me see the picture again, if you don't mind. Who does that look like? If Scott Van Pelt gained a bunch of weight.
Yes, yes. And had a clown nose.
And had a clown nose. That's right. You draw, you bring up, put it on the poll. Who's handling the polls today with Billy out? Tony, put it on the poll. Do you remember the Wooly Willy game? You're going to have to explain it because people aren't going to know it by name. Do you remember the Wooly Willy game where you would drag debris and make a magnet mustache out of Wooly Willy.
So if you look for that image to the right, you will see some of the options you had. You're dragging little, I guess, shreds of magnetic stuff over to the bald face and trying to form some facial hair on Willy.
A simpler time in America.
It was a great game.
Now that I've shown the guys in the shipping container this image of Wooly Willy, you guys know what we're talking about now?
I do remember it more by sight than you saying it.
Mm-hmm. It's that shitty pharmacy store toy. Yeah, you'd be limited, but you'd be bored. I hated going to the pharmacy.
So you had the magnetic pen. You had the stuff at the bottom. You would drag it up and form any sort of facial hair you wanted. Why did we enjoy that? It seems like a terrible idea.
We all know what it was, though, somehow. It must be a great idea if we all know what it was.
Yeah.
What is the price on Wooly Willy? Like, if I wanted to get a Wooly Willy today because I was longing for a different time in America.
See if it's on Amazon.
$7.79. No, $7.79. Right now, that's what I have.
I bet you I can get that in a dollar store.
I mean, that's Amazon choice. $7.72, free shipping. Code Lebatard.
There is no way.
We should make a Wooly Billy. We should have Angel draw up a Wooly Billy and start selling it at the merch store.
That is a phenomenal idea.
That's a good idea.
There can't be a demand for this.
You guys just said it was a terrible idea, and you just said there can't be a demand for this, and both of you are telling me make a Wooly Billy. Yeah. Go find the ingredients you need to draw a crappy mustache on Billy.
Yeah, we should make it like an interactive game, Wooly Billy.
And by the way, you guys are right. Frequently bought together is Wooly Willy and the Etch-A-Sketch. Also, the Magic 8-Ball, for some reason. They're usually grouped together.
There's also a lady version of Wooly Willy called Hairdo Harriet.
It's important in these times that we find equality around the Wooly Willy.
Yeah.
Wait, Mike, did you see Buddy Beagle? You could do the same with Buddy. They have a dog.
They have a
So they've got branches. They've got branches to this empire. This is Stugatz is saying it's a terrible idea, and they've got spinoffs all over the place.
Yeah. This is unsurprisingly brought to you by the makers of Wooly Willy.
Yeah, I assume so.
They have to have this patent.
You can't steal that from Wooly Willy. You try and go and create your own with a dog, Wooly Willy's lawyers will chase you down and draw a magnetic mustache on you using garbage and debris.
Yeah, this is cute. You can put glasses on a dog. Who does that? That's ridiculous.
I wanted to ask you guys something here because this goes back a ways in terms of how it is we've covered things around here. Because I remember, I don't know, Stugatz, if this is 10 or 15 years ago, but it was close to the advent of Deadspin and the very idea of blogging, okay? So a ton of time ago. And at the time, we talked about, because I came from journalism, and at the time, ESPN was just basically sucking at the teat of newspapers to get its credibility. It was part of what allowed and helped ESPN to rise, where they were hiring the newspaper writers to give sports commentary. The whole thing started because a guy who would go on to become the president of ESPN realized that sports writers were good for free content talking about historic and perspective-filled stories that would then become 30 for 30s. Him making those sports century type things. They were sports century at the time, documentaries using sports writers and newspapers. He parlayed that into becoming the president of ESPN. And we were talking about where it is you get your credible source material. And we were talking, and I've always respected newspapers in that regard. I trust newspapers to tell me the truth. It's one of the many reasons that what's going on in America over the last 4 years, where that particular person has been able to take a not subtle hatchet to the credibility of the news, has been hurtful to me as someone who cares about journalism. But I remember specifically in talking about the Deadspin stuff, I remember one time you went to a report and you didn't make any discerning judgments between thing on the internet and newspaper story. And you told me that when I asked you, well, what's the source on that? You said Bleacher Report.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Bleacher Report was nothing. I laughed at you. I'm like, what does that mean? Bleacher Report.
Really, yes. It really was prophetic, really.
He laughed me out of the room. He really did.
I did. Like, I'm like, what do you mean Bleacher Report? I don't understand that as a news source. But I bring all this up because what do you do with this? a woman from Miami named Ashley Nicole Moss, who is a sports TV host, a radio host. She's got a show on iHeartRadio and YouTube. She is reporting that Giannis is prepared to sign a long-term deal in Miami. No one else is reporting that. And there has been a bit of democratization of the news in that it could come from anywhere. We laughed at a guy one time when he called in. You know, I don't know why we thought he was wearing a Dare shirt. Maybe he just told us he was wearing a Dare shirt. But he told us that Shaquille O'Neal was about to be traded to Miami, or traded from Miami.
To Phoenix. We laughed him off the phone, and he was a bouncer, I believe, somewhere at a club in Miami, and he ended up being right. We laughed at him in 45 minutes. The report came out that Shaq was traded to Phoenix. You know, what I do with it, Dan, is I just don't know who knows who, right? That's what I do with it.
Why'd you make him a bouncer?
No, he was like some guy at a bank.
I felt like it was a bouncer, no?
No, it wasn't a bouncer. He was just some guy at a bank. I met him at an event.
Bouncers are good for information.
They got their ear to the streets, man. That's what I'm trying to say. So I just figured that maybe that it was a bouncer. I don't know. But it was a banker.
Yeah, Tom Haberstroh made Purple really famous across the world. And Purple, not a bouncer, but a nightclub impresario and just a South Florida
person. Not an impresario, a nightclub hookup.
He's a promoter. A Miami promoter / pharmacist and DJ. I don't know. That's usually how that goes.
Well, nobody smokes a hookah better than Purple.
No, Vlade Divac.
So answer my question. Or just laugh at your body.
Well, which was the question?
No, I have a question for you. So what do you do with that? Okay, so what do you do with it?
Because, I'm asking you guys the question.
But hold on. But listen, but you're the journalist. That's why I ask, because I'll believe it, right? So what I am asking you is, I have no idea who she knows, who she's connected to, where she's getting her information from. I have no idea. It doesn't mean she's wrong. It also certainly does not mean that she's right. And I'm asking, as an old school journalist, how many times does she have to report stuff before she becomes credible, before we start believing her? Does she have to do it once? Does she have to nail a couple of stories? I don't know. But for me, if she says that Giannis is ready to sign a long-term deal, works for me. You know, I'm good. We're getting Giannis.
When I see an unverified account there and...
Who's we?
When I see an unverified account with something ambiguous like SiriusXM or iHeartRadio or YouTube, I start doing some digging, and I go to see who follows this person. Are there credible people that follow this person?
Is there a number? Because she's got fewer than 8,000 followers.
Right,
is there...
but she does seem to be plugged in, like Donovan Mitchell follows her, J.R. Smith follows her. She does have some reputable people following her, some people that I would respect in terms of like putting their stamp of approval on this person. Look, there was a cupcake shop owner that broke LeBron news. So this is, unfortunately, she's not going to become reputable before this story breaks. But if it breaks, she then becomes reputable. Those are the rules I've decided.
Didn't someone scoop Schefter on Patrick Mahomes' deal? I believe that was, someone did do that, so...
There was one time too on Twitter where I'm blanking on the name of the MLB player who had a niece that went to Twitter and said the Astros are cheating.
Yeah, but that
it's
was
evident.
Fake.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, but that one ended up being fake, and she wasn't exactly the niece. Who was it? Carlos Beltran's niece?
Something like that.
Yeah. So you have to. You're raising an example right now of exactly why you should be discerning when it comes to these stuff. What you do is the Dan trick, where you just throw it out there and ask, what are you supposed to do with it? And don't get a real answer, but we still talk about it and get the content. Right, Dan?
Or you just throw it out there, and if it's right, you get all the credit. If it's not, no one remembers.
It's layered, more layered than that. Right, Dan?
Sorry.
It is more layered than that, and I threw the question to you guys. I have still not gotten
the answer.
So we
could
be
the answer. Yeah, but in answering your question, we're irresponsible for it.
I've gotten some content out of it, not the content I was hoping to get out of it, because Stu got... is willing to believe anything, even though he's a known liar.
Hold on a sec. A liquor store employee scooped Adam Schefter, the best in the business, the greatest in the game. She scooped him on the biggest quarterback contract in the history of the NFL. I'm believing anyone.
Okay, there's a couple of things here that make this hard, right? Because I don't think that the audience or even we understand how, when you say scooped Adam Schefter, as if he's responsible for every news story anywhere in the NFL, I don't think anyone realizes how hard it is to be the Jay Glazer or the Schefter or the Woj who is beating local reporters on their stories in their markets when they're talking to people and physically close to the people and have relationships with the people. Like, I really don't think that the audience has any idea how hard it is for those crazy people who do that job, because Glazer and Schefter and Woj have to be a special kind of crazy to feel responsible for covering the entirety of this neighborhood.
Right. I'm not saying this as a shot at Schefter. He's the best at what it is that he does. Schefter had her on the podcast. He thought it was funny that he got scooped by the liquor store employee because it's his job to come up with that scoop. So he found it to be amusing. My larger point is you just don't know. You don't know who people know and where they're getting their information from. So I'm not willing to rule it out.
You erode, though, the credibility of the credible when you're willing to make anyone credible. Like, you specifically end up eroding. If you're not going to make any distinction between Woj and Ashley Nicole Moss, and it's not true that you don't make a distinction. When Woj reports it, you simply believe it. Like, it's not something that you're saying, oh, I don't know about that, or let me wait and see. If Woj says it's so, you believe it's so. It's not. If Woj right now comes out and says, Giannis willing to sign long-term deal in Miami, it's all over everywhere. It's not what this is, which is just sort of a whispered secret and people scratching their head and saying, well, is this right? Is this credible? Should I believe this person?
So that's why I was asking. You're 100% right. If Woj put something out there, believe it. Schefter, believe it. Her, I'll take it with a grain of salt, right? But I'm not going to say that she's wrong. So if she gets this right, is she more credible? The next one's going to be right?
Of course, obviously. Right. If she gets it right, that makes her credible. That's the game. But you're asking the wrong people. We're just a couple lunkheads, Dan. You're the only one with a traditional media background. So what are we supposed to do with something like
this? I'm not sure that if she gets this one right, all of a sudden that's a name you know. Stugatz is still referring to it as the liquor store owner. If the liquor store owner breaks the next contract from a quarterback, are you also going to be like, well, I got to get my information over there?
Yeah, but there is a difference. This is someone with a media background that's trying to make it in this business. You see some of her credentials. She puts it out there. I had to go out and search to see if this was even a real show because it's 2020 and you should do your own share of vetting. This one's different because that liquor store owner, I don't know what their aspirations are, but I doubt it's to be the next Woj. This person is trying to become someone in the media.
I don't dismiss it, but what I end up doing in the specifics of this one, which is sort of in our neighborhood and it's something our audience cares about, I end up asking a whole bunch of follow-up questions and so of other people. And so what ended up happening, like Ira Winderman, a credible reporter for a long time on the Miami Heat beat, and I don't know where he got this from, but he was talking about the idea that Jrue Holiday for Tyler Hero might be a thing because Jrue Holiday is now available and it is not a thing. Like the Heat would not give up Tyler Hero for Jrue Holiday. But if it was Giannis, then
would hope so.
But here's, you say you would hope so, but there are plenty of Heat fans listening to me right now who would say, well, you could just wait a year. You don't have to give up Tyler Hero. Why would you not just wait a year instead of trading Tyler Hero? I would make that trade right now to ensure myself Giannis for next year.
If you know he's going to come next year, you know he's going to sign long-term, and it costs you Tyler Hero, show Giannis that you want him
now. Well, but you need to make the contracts match, and I don't even know how you do that because Tyler Hero's on such a cheap contract.
Yeah, you got to staple some other contracts to it.
But they got
to
be valuable for
Giannis. Yes, but you already have the valuable piece in Tyler Hero, who is honestly one of the best assets in the NBA right now, and you can't overlook the local ties with Tyler Hero and why that would be attractive to a team like the Milwaukee Bucks. You have the local kid at a super young age that is established that he might have a really high ceiling considering what he did at age 20. What the Bucks have to weigh, which is fairly obvious, and this woman, Ashley Moss, she actually gave voice to it. You don't want to lose someone like Giannis for nothing, but you also have to weigh that with, we have a title window. What does a title do to our franchise in terms of long-term stability? Or should we already turn this asset in Giannis Antetokounmpo, a two-time reigning MVP, into something that can make us a player for a longer period of time if Giannis just decides to up and walk?
Stugatz, the Giannis thing is so fascinating to me, okay? Because Mike Ryan is sitting here saying they've got a title window. And I don't look at them and say their title window has closed, but I've seen enough of them to know that they're going to change the way they look when the playoff basketball arrives,
right?
Specifically because of the kind of player that he is, which is MVP valuable, but when the game changes, and this isn't a mental thing, it's not that he's soft, it's the physical limitations of his game where he needs to be someone who is breaking down your defense from close range, and the game has become something that spreads out the floor. Now, it is a huge indictment of both Budenholzer and Milwaukee if they can't figure out a way to put the pieces around him to make them something that can get out of the second round or, you know, the conference championship.
They got to the conference final.
Because we all know that that is a player who is valuable enough to be among the greatest who have ever played basketball.
Sure.
But the idea that when Mike is saying window, they've got a window that's closing. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like it's come close to closing. If they're going to go Budenholzer, they just got knocked out in the second round, weird season or not. It's not like they looked real competitive. Like they got exposed for all the reasons that everyone was doubting them. And I'm telling you, it's not mental frailty about that dude. It's something that has to do with the physical change of play in the half court that makes his game less effective than it is in the regular season when they're not playing the same kind of defense.
He needs to be surrounded with more shooters. He needs to be the guy not taking the shot, but the guy distributing and creating the shot, much like LeBron does a lot, although he can hit the shot.
He can take many
shots.
But
he doesn't hit it as consistently. You just have to decide. Do you want to take one more shot, try to win a championship with Giannis, or get something in return before he leaves your city? That's it.
I don't think it's as simple as shooters. If you look at their shooting numbers, they were fantastic. That's a fantastic shooting team. The likes of Middleton and Brook Lopez is an amazing three-point shooter.
But Mike, you don't feel like they're too reliant on him having to hit three-point shots? Like you don't. That's not the strength of his game.
Miami obviously found success in exploiting some of the deficiencies in his game. If the Milwaukee Bucks are going to go anywhere as presently constituted, is because he needs to continue and grow his game. Or he can go to a franchise that has proven that they can surround you with the right pieces. Now, while you look at the numbers and you say, hey, these guys are shooters, what exactly is wrong here? But they're not going to take over a game. Chris Middleton is a mighty fine player, and we saw when Giannis went out, Chris Middleton is an all-star caliber player, but he's not a great. Miami does that better than anybody, and they maximize the talents, and they cater to you, and they can take you next level. And if I'm Giannis Antetokounmpo, I don't have faith that the Milwaukee Bucks can. And I'm looking at what Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo just did and get into the NBA Finals. How can you not want to Leonardo DiCaprio meme it and say, that's my shit right there?